This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Madeline Brand. Al Jazeera, the satellite news network that reaches 40 million people, is the Middle East's most successful news network. It's not without its critics, of course. Its coverage of events in Iraq and elsewhere has repeatedly angered the United States government, and it's drawn fire from nearly every government in the region, from Iran to Saudi Arabia. Now, nearly a decade since Al Jazeera aired its first news bulletin, the network is changing the way it covers news. In the first of a five-part series on the Arab media, NPR's Eric Weiner reports.
For a network that has stirred up so much trouble, sparked so much controversy, the Al Jazeera newsroom in Qatar is remarkably unremarkable. The banter is in Arabic, not English, and instead of a break room, there's a small mosque, but otherwise, this could be any newsroom. There's the bank of TV monitors, the coffee mugs strewn about, and, of course, the journalists, simultaneously frazzled and jaded.
It's the usual thing. It's not a very active day today.
Not very active, explains Ahmed Sheikh, Al Jazeera's editor-in-chief, means only two bombings, one in Baghdad, another in Afghanistan. It's not yet noon, but Ahmed Sheikh, a former BBC journalist with bushy gray hair and droopy eyes, already seems beaten down. Covering the bombing in Baghdad won't be easy. The Iraqi government has closed Al Jazeera's bureau there. And then, more bad news, an angry message from the Syrian government.
They are accusing us of sensationalism and conspiring against them.
This is typical?
Yeah, it's typical. It's not a surprise.
Does it give you a headache, though?
They might. That's my manager. Hello.
All of this pressure is having an effect on Al Jazeera's coverage. The network recently adopted a code of ethics, promising, among other things, to avoid the pitfalls of speculation and propaganda. It more heavily edits tapes from Osama bin Laden, and since taking over about a year ago, Ahmed Sheikh has issued a new dictum: no more close-ups of the dead and wounded.
I still remember that picture which was shown on Al Jazeera during the bombing of Basra, during the war in Iraq, where half of the head of a kid was just blown away, and it was on a close-up of the... I wasn't working here, I was outside, and I just picked up the phone and said, for God's sake, you cannot show this. This cannot be seen. I know that the face of war is ugly. I know that these things happen. But we are still human beings.
A U.S. official acknowledges that Al Jazeera has become, in her words, more professional. And by giving voice to activists around the region, Al Jazeera's news coverage is bolstering one of President Bush's main foreign policy goals, bringing democracy to the Middle East. But it's not necessarily the network's news coverage that stirs outrage. It's the talk shows like this popular one called The Opposite Direction.
A lot of their political debate shows don't really have debate. They have people yelling at each other.
John Alterman with the Center for Strategic and International Studies has followed Al Jazeera from its inception.
There's a show called Akthar Min Ra'i, More Than One Opinion, which generally goes from the anti-American to the rabidly anti-American. And there's usually one person who I look at on the screen and I said, where could they ever find these people?
And then there's the network's terminology. Al Jazeera refers to Palestinian suicide bombers as shaheed or martyrs. Editor Ahmed Sheikh.
And this doesn't have any political implications because it's a religious matter. In our religion and in our culture, if you are killed by your enemy, your people call you a martyr.
But Al Jazeera's main competitor does not share that view. Abdulrahman al-Rashid is general manager of Al Arabiya, or The Arab. They don't use the term martyr to describe suicide bombers, he says, since in Islam, martyrs go to heaven.
It's not up to a TV station to send someone to heaven to say this person died and he went to heaven, or this person died and he went to hell. This is supposed to be God's, you know, job. It's not my job. I'm a TV station director, basically. I don't send people to heaven or hell.
Like Al Jazeera, which is bankrolled by the Emir of Qatar, Al Arabiya also has deep pockets, in this case, the pockets of a Saudi prince. The network's newsroom in Dubai is ultra-modern, staffed with journalists from around the Arab world.
Do we have a story from Palestine today?
Definitely, about
about Gaza?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We have something from Gaza.
So we're expecting here a report from Gaza.
That's assignment editor Najeev Ben-Sharif. He says difficult decisions, what to air and how, crop up all the time.
I was just talking to our stringer in Al-Ramadi, in Iraq, and he told me that he has got some footage of Al-Zarqawi group carrying out operations somewhere there. And he was a little bit excited about it. I told him, that's fine, but just bear in mind that we don't want to be the mouthpiece of Zarqawi.
In fact, the network never aired that footage. Al-Arabiya's approach has apparently angered the insurgents. Last October, a car bomb at the network's Baghdad bureau killed 5 employees. And last month, the network's senior correspondent in Iraq was shot and seriously wounded during a botched kidnapping attempt. The attacks have shaken the staff, but Najeev Ben-Sharif says they are determined to present what he calls a more balanced approach to the news.
We don't want to be anti-Americans or anti-British or anti-French. We want to be journalists covering what's happening all over the world.
Well, recently your network has been accused of being pro-American.
Yeah, well, if being liberal and objective is pro-American, so be it.
This approach has won Al-Arabiya a lot of viewers in the 2 years or so since it launched, but Al Jazeera remains the most popular news network in the region. Mohammed, a blogger from Cairo, thinks he knows why.
I think Al-Arabiya is probably not as sensational, and that could be one of the reasons that people like Al Jazeera more. Arabs like sensationalism.
And that, say some observers, is precisely the problem. Jihad Fakhreddin, a media expert with the Pan-Arab Research Center, says there is now no shortage of opinion in the Arab world, but there is a shortage of information, real information.
What information am I getting from the Arab state channels that I have to back every time I listen to something, I have to verify it in the CNN, in the BBC? We are totally information dependent on the Western media.
Others also question the promise of so-called satellite democracy. Hisham Melhem hosts a weekly talk show on Al-Arabiya. Such programs, he says, serve one and only one purpose. They allow ordinary Arabs to vent their anger.
You feel kind of intoxicated, or you may feel, because somebody is sticking it to the Arab regimes or to the Americans or to the Israelis who are tormenting us. And then what?
What the Arab world needs, he says, is a way to transfer their outrage from the airwaves to the streets and ultimately the corridors of power. Eric Weiner, NPR News.
For more on our Arab media series, go to our website, npr.org. Tomorrow, she's hot, she flaunts it, she's Ruby, the Egyptian female pop star who's putting a sexy new face on Arab entertainment television.
She's got her own style of movement, you know, sort of offbeat stuff that just belongs to her, really. I never saw anybody dancing that way.